Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
The Bucks have one big problem. They got shellacked by the Saints last night. I'm sure you heard about it. 38-3. It was 31-0 at the half. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our man, Tony Dungy, NBC Sunday Night Football. He lives in Tampa. He will join us in 10 minutes. He was also key on the call for Clemson and Notre Dame. What a weekend for Coach Dungy. We'll go inside both of those big games. Biggest game in college, biggest game in the NFL. He was there for both. He's here in 9 minutes.
I'm thinking, has Tom Brady, when he was in New England, has he ever just been held to 3 points? Was he ever held to just 3 points in New England?
I think there was one time. I think it was like maybe the first year of his career.
We'll look at that, but here's a stat for you that goes back.
I was just thinking about that.
Here's a stat that goes back 20 years. It's not as good as your three-pointer, but we'll take a look at it. This is the first time Tom Brady, in 20 years, obviously, first year with the Bucs, 20 with the Patriots, he had never been swept by a team in the regular season. Mm. Never. The Jets had a minute, as you know. The Jets were good for a minute. The Bills, the Dolphins.
Did the Jets ever get him twice?
No team had ever gotten him twice prior to last night. This was the first time ever he had lost to a division foe twice in a season. How about that?
Yeah, well, it started off, obviously, the beginning of the season. And look, here's what I would say about the Bucks. There's concern, but there's not a panic, right? There's a concern because everybody's still trying to get to know one another, different things. They bring in Antonio Brown. He throws an interception because Antonio Brown looked to pull up based on the Belling coverage. Tom Brady thought he was going to run past the guy, so he threw an interception. So it's just one of those deals where things kind of went clunker, right? Chicago beat him. The first thing happens, uh-oh, four fingers. He thinks it's four downs. He's asking for an extra down. He get past that. He rolls up a couple victories after that. Now, all of a sudden, because it's Tom Brady, people push the Bucks in front of everybody else in the NFC. And I kept trying to say, I said, man, you got to slow down. Because once New Orleans get a full arsenal going, they're going to be hard to beat. When they got Michael Thomas and Samuel and
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill and Kamara. Cook. And when you start looking at it, it's like, y'all got to slow down with that Buck prediction. It's just, and it has nothing to do with my nephew, well, a little bit, because it's nepotism. I always want to see him do well. But it really doesn't have a lot to do with that. It has something to do with what they have on the offensive side of the ball. Their offense is so lethal, they may not get the notoriety Kansas City gets or the notoriety that Tom Brady, because of his 6 Super Bowl, 9 appearances, get, and you give him the benefit of the doubt so you push him up as New Orleans. But if you go man for man on New Orleans offensive skill positions and you match that with Tampa Bay's, I'm here to say that they have a better offensive skill position players than the Tampa Bay Bucks.
You know, we got asked a question right before we came into the 8 o'clock hour about, you know, what would life be like for Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson if they had all the weaponry that obviously Patrick Mahomes has out in Kansas City, right? And as we were going to break, Key made the point about, well, how about Tom Brady? Like, he has similar weapons to a degree. Not maybe at the same caliber, but a lot of weapons. And Dan Orlovsky made a great point last hour that the coaching from a play-calling perspective wasn't on point at all. And you didn't get a lot of these options involved. And I know it takes time, Key, but even if you can't count on your offense, your defense is supposed to be the thing that holds you together. It's, you know, one of the best defenses there in the league. That's all I've heard about. The Bucs defense, like the QB passer rating is like 88 or something, like 82. Like, but last night, it was nowhere to be found. They got diced up left and right.
Well, here you go. It's a division, right? The division, they know each other. They've seen each other the beginning of the season. They've seen each other in the past. The defensive coordinators aren't going to change what they do. They're running a certain package in a certain style. And you know certain corners. When you think about a situation where Dean, the cornerback 35 for the Bucs, New Orleans know him. New Orleans, they like, oh, him against man-to-man, we getting ready to do this to him. We're going to run Emmanuel Sanders on a shake route, and then we're going to see if he can handle that shake route. Well, clearly, he got beat for a touchdown on that. They knew he would be in that coverage in man-to-man situations. The moment that Emmanuel Sanders goes down, he's going to go with him, and then Emmanuel Sanders put his foot in the ground, retraced, came back out, breeze throws, touchdown, amazing catch, amazing route, amazing throw. They know that. Where you look at it and they play against teams that are not in their division or ones that are in their division that's not good, they dominate them. They just do. So when you look at teams that, you know, Chicago, For instance, Chicago's offense, they played okay against the Bucks' defense. Not great. That game was lost based on the Bucks' offense not being able to generate any points.
Here's one thing for you real quick. I want to get your thoughts on the impossible possible situation. It seems impossible on the surface, but then when you look at it, is it possible? Could the Bucks possibly miss the playoffs? I want to talk about that in 1 second, but first, that crazy Brady stat about never losing to a division foe twice before last night. It's amazing. That's a great stat. Stats Incredible, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Is Bruce Arians gripping just a little bit, or is Bruce being Bruce here? Listen to this, and then, yes, Bucks possibly missing playoff talk with some numbers you've got to see.
Second half, I thought we got to turnover and we don't score a touchdown. I thought that kind of was end of it right then and there. But, I mean, I have to give New Orleans credit. They kicked our ass in every phase.
He always tells you what he feels. Now, think about it. The Bucks are sitting there, right? They're a 6-3 football team. Are we panicking? Is this just sports talk radio fodder? Let's think about this. Right now, the number one seed, if the playoffs ended today, knowing they don't, the Saints would be 6-2 in the one spot.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks would be just a shade behind. They're also 6-2, but they would be in the two spot. The Packers are also 6-2. They would be in the three spot. Now, this one we have to mention. The Eagles at 3-4-1 would be in the fourth spot and would be in line to host a playoff game because obviously you have to have the division winner get a top four seed in a home playoff game. So those are the four: Saints, Seahawks, Packers, Eagles. But listen to how
Giants.
By the way, the Giants are in 16th. I just checked for you. Just they're on the way up.
No need to kick us. We're already down. We understand that, but we're coming.
So let's go to the next cut. Obviously, seven teams this year make the playoffs for the first time. They've expanded the playoff field by each team in each conference. One team in each conference. The Bucks are sitting at 5 right now at 6-3, but right behind them, Arizona at 5-3. Rams at 5-3, Bucks and Rams, by the way, in a couple weeks. The Bears are at 5-4. So there are teams lurking right behind Tampa. Notable here, Key, because they will not at this point appear, even though they're just a half game back, to get the division title, especially with the Saints having one game in hand after the sweep.
Well, they probably won't get the division title, right? They're fighting for a wild card spot. But the teams that they face coming up are all getting better and playing better and still fighting for spots. When you think about it, the Panthers just got McCaffrey back. So they had him on the ropes yesterday and let KC get out of there. Then you talk about the Rams. The Rams are fighting not only for the division, but for a playoff spot. Then when you think about Kansas City, Kansas City's fighting for the first place bye in the AFC.
Right.
The Vikings are getting better. Dalvin Cook is running. They won two in a row. Atlanta's getting better with Raheem Morris at the helm. We'll have a conversation about Raheem at some point. Now, they could eat Lions or the Lions, but the Falcons are trying to win for their head coach. So none of the next several games that the Bucs have on their schedule is a cakewalk by no stretch of the imagination. It sounds weird that they would miss the playoffs, but it could happen. Just depends on how the dominoes fall.
If the Bucs were to miss the playoffs, what do you think next steps are with that franchise?
Nothing. Running
just
back next
running
year.
Back? Everybody the same?
Yeah, you just run
just
it back.
Just get more continuity. Everything's fine?
Yeah, you run it back. You run it right back next year.
Last year for Brady, though, because it's a two-year $50 million deal.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, this isn't the last. He got one
next
more year.
Next year.
He's in a two-year $50 million deal.
Yeah,
so next
you
year,
run it back.
He'd be going into a walk year.
Yeah, so you just run it back and see what happens. You're not going to part ways and all of a sudden hit the reset button.
No, I understand. I'm just curious, you know, how a team like that seems very fragile mentally as around all the things that are happening with it, like Bruce Arians, him always telling us how he feels, Tom Brady, Antonio Brown coming to this team, all these new parts, just how they would deal with the expectations of not being able to get there and then having that much time off until next year started.
We're going to talk to a Super Bowl champion and one of the best guys on or off the field in just 1 second, but QBR is on a scale of 1 to 100. You know, you could belabor me for a second. You know I love the numbers. QBR, 0 to 100. 0, awesome. 0. 100 awesome, 0 terrible, right? Scale of 0 to 100, a great QBR is like a 70, 80. That would be good. What do you think Brady's QBR was last night on a scale of 0 to 100?
43.
51.
3.8.
What?
3.8. It was one of the worst QBRs ever recorded by a quarterback since ESPN started tracking the stat.
Brady's done. You heard it here first. He's not a good quarterback anymore.
I'll tell you, don't let Cam win tonight. The narratives will flip in a heartbeat.
Y'all so crazy, man. Four games ago, whenever it was, Chicago, he was toast. He was done. He's old. He's holding up four fingers. He's senile, all those sort of things. Then he win, roll off three games in a row or whatever it was. He's going to the Super Bowl. Now they get bounced by New Orleans and beat up real bad. Brady can't play anymore. This is the funniest thing ever.
You do raise a great point. After they lost their first game, they won three in a row.
Yeah.
Then they lost again. Then they won three in a row. And now they've lost again. So we will see. Maybe another three-game winning streak is in the offing. That's what the early history seems to indicate.
Well, two
again.
Of those three losses are to one team, though.
That's right. The Saints. And that's probably going to cost them the division.
He should have held up five fingers last night.
How do you hold up 3.8? He held up four. Maybe he was referencing his QBR. Rounding it up to four. 3.8 QBR. Incredible. Nice. Keyshawn, Jable, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Trevor will not be able to play. You just have to have the next guy ready to go.
Clemson for the lead. Etienne into the end zone. Hook on the roll. He throws end zone. Touchdown.
This game has been everything we thought it would be.
We head to overtime number two. Tyron Williams scores again. It is over. And the Irish have knocked off number one Clemson.
We're not celebrating because we showed the world or we changed the narrative. We did it because we proved something to ourselves.
That's Brian Kelly. That's confidence personified. There were 11,011 people at the game Saturday night in South Bend. Seemingly all of them hit the field. But Tony Dungy, the Super Bowl champion in the booth, responsible, stayed exactly where he needs to say. And he joins us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Tony was also there in the studio last night for Sunday Night Football. Who had a better weekend than Tony watching Clemson, Notre Dame, and then breaking down the Bucs and the Saints? Tony, good morning. I want to start on Saturday with college football. There's been a lot of discussion on whether this game between Clemson and Notre Dame might have been a different result if it was quarterback Trevor Lawrence instead of Coach Lawrence hanging out with Uiagalelei. What do you make of that? Trev plays, would the result be different?
No, I don't think that was really the issue. You know, Clemson could have done a few different things, maybe a couple of more things with Trevor Lawrence, but DJ Uiagalelei played great football, and the problem for Clemson was on the other side. They were missing three starters in their defensive front seven that really hurt them, and then both of their safeties went out as the game went on. So they were missing five guys, and they really had no answers for that Notre Dame offense. But it was, you know, we talked about it before the game with each coach, and they both said, we've got to exert our will. Notre Dame, it was pressure defense and pounding running game. And for Clemson, it was the quick strike, make it fast-paced. And it just went back and forth. It was like a heavyweight fight, and it was great to be there.
What's happening, Coach TD?
Hey, Keyshawn, great to be with you guys, always.
Thank you, man. How likely is it that these two teams will see each other in the college football playoffs in your mind?
Well, that's going to be interesting because I think they're going to see each other in the ACC championship game. Now, what happens? Trevor Lawrence comes back and Clemson wins. Okay, and now you've got – if that happens and you've got both teams with one loss, they played each other twice – I think they'll be two of the best four teams in the country, but will voters say, I really don't want to see them play a third time? I think that could be the narrative. So I think it's going to really behoove Notre Dame to win that game if they match up again in the ACC championship game.
Coach, obviously after the game was won, all the Notre Dame fans, you know, crowded the field. Should Notre Dame be punished for that? Should there be some kind of fine? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's so hard, Jay. We were sitting there, and you could just feel the emotion. And you've got young 18, 19, 20-year-old students, and it's hard to corral that. So could Notre Dame have had more security there? To me, it was just a natural emotional response. I don't think people were thinking clearly. Obviously, after the fact, they would think, oh, gosh, this might not be the right thing to do. But there was a lot of emotion in that stadium, and I just don't know how you control that.
The great coach, Tony Dungy, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Coach, when you – last night, obviously, the Bucs, our team, got taken to the woodshed last night by the New Orleans Saints. What did you make of that outing?
I was shocked, actually, Keyshawn. I thought it was going to be a great game. I picked the Bucks. I knew that Drew Brees would play well. They were getting Michael Thomas back. They were getting Emmanuel Sanders back. They had some weaponry now. And I knew they'd score points and play well on offense. I thought Tampa would match them on offense. But Rodney Harrison, I've been with Rodney 12 years in the studio, and he has told me time and time again, the way you have to play Tom Brady, you have to be able to get pressure in his face with four guys, and you have to have guys who can play tight man coverage. And that is what happened last night. They got the pressure early. Cam Jordan started off on the first rush of the game. Malcolm Jenkins played Gronk tough and tight the whole game, took away those quick, easy throws. And they really did what you have to do to play against Tom Brady. You guys mentioned, well, he didn't look great against Chicago. They had the same kind of formula, a pass rush that can get there, not having to blitz. Not everybody has that, but New Orleans had the perfect plan. I thought Dennis Allen on defense for New Orleans and Sean Payton on offense, they both called great games.
TD, should we be concerned about the Bucs potentially not making the playoffs?
No, I think they'll make the playoffs, but I think now this is going to put them in a wild card situation where they're going to have to go on the road three times if they want to get to the Super Bowl. And you're going to play some defenses on the road that can rush the passer and can create havoc. So this obviously makes it a little tougher. New Orleans now, on the other hand, they put themselves in position to maybe get the bye, maybe be off the first week, play all their games at home. And to me, this game really did a lot to shift the balance of power in the NFC.
Coach, even though when you look at the schedule of some of the teams that the Bucs are going to face coming up, like the Panthers, obviously they had Kansas City get out of KC with a W. But then they have, you know, they got Minnesota coming down the pipelines, playing a lot better than your old assistant coach and Raheem Morris turning the Atlanta Falcons around. They got them coming down the pipeline. Do you think, though, it's you shouldn't be worried at all that the possible missing of the playoffs?
No, they're going to make it. When you look at where this NFC is, there are no perfect teams. So everybody's going to be in the same boat. Yeah, they've got – and they're going to have to deal with Kansas City. That's going to be a tough game for Tampa with Mahomes. And Kansas City has guys who can rush the passer. So it'll be tight. They'll lose a couple of more games in there, but I still see them being a team that'll be 10-6, 11-5, and that'll make it.
Let me ask you this before I let you get out of here. And I know what the answer is probably going to be. It's been 12 years. But at all, what will it take to get you back on the sidelines, man? What will it take? I know it's been 12 years, but what will it take? Because you can't tell me you don't have the itch.
Well, I sit there and I watch games, and I think I was that Notre Dame game. I'm going back and forth. And what would I do here? What would I call? And it is exciting to be out there. But I'll tell you honestly, Keyshawn and Jay, I want to see these young African-American coaches get opportunities. I would rather see Eric Bieniemy and Pep Hamilton and guys like that coach, because that's the future. That's who we need to get going in these head coaching positions.
No question about that, because you laid the foundation down, obviously, from the late Denny Green, then obviously to you and Lovie Smith and Mike Tomlin. You kind of laid the foundation, but maybe you getting back in it will allow you to also hire some of these young coaches to be the coordinators to give opportunities. I'm just saying.
He's trying to get you to think, TD.
He's trying to get you to think now. That might be what it takes to get me back in it. You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
All right, because, you know, it'd be a few jobs that I think you would be good at that's going to open up around these airwaves real soon.
One of them might be in Florham Park, New Jersey, where the team is headquartered.
I didn't say anything. Just floating it out there.
Well, you guys are terrible.
Hey, TD, I got one more for you here, and we should mention Raheem Morris has won 3 of 4. And by the way, another young African-American we haven't mentioned. Last night was a bad sample size, but Byron Leftwich, by and large, is seen as a great prospect, former quarterback, offensive coordinator of the Bucs. So just keep that one in mind, since TD does think the Bucs will obviously rally, and having a simpatico with Tom Brady certainly doesn't hurt. Last one for you, Coach. You kind of mentioned this in your answer about Notre Dame and Clemson. They will play possibly again in the ACC championship game December 19th. They obviously played the Instant Classic you were at Saturday. And you did broach the subject of them possibly both being two of the top four teams in the country after that game on the 19th, no matter who wins. Do you think the college football playoff would go for a matchup that we would see for the third time in a season. Last Saturday, the 19th, and then Clemson and Notre Dame in the playoff. You think they'd pull the trigger on something like that?
Well, normally you would say no, but what if the ACC championship game ends up being one of those classic games and Clemson wins by 1 or 2 points or wins an overtime game? And now you say, gosh, these might be the two best teams in the country. They play back and forth. We need to make it a best of three and see. I could see that happening. But I think that championship game would have to be a close game with a Clemson win for that to happen.
Indeed. In that scenario, the only team's losses would be to each other. Coach, great to have you on the program this morning. Thanks for waking up early. I know it was a crazy, hectic weekend.
It was, but a lot of fun. You guys do a great job. I enjoy listening to you.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
That's the Super Bowl champion, Tony Dungy, on the call for Notre Dame's win over Clemson. Notre Dame, clearly Saturday night, by just a bit, was a little more driven. More driven brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. On the way, are they about to drive Sam Darnold right out of New York? That's on the way.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
It's fair to say the Jets certainly haven't had enough all season. They're the league's only team without a win. Monday Night Football to put a cap on this week of the NFL season. It'll be the Jets and the Patriots. We will have Lou Riddick, who will be on the call tonight for Monday Night Football. He'll join us at 9:30 Eastern. But who better than to get into this conversation with, fellas, than a former Jet himself? Bart Scott played 11 years in the league, distinguished himself in Baltimore and in gangrene. He's the host of Bart and Hahn weekdays from 11 to 1 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And he and Alan Hahn will follow us this morning on ESPN Radio. All right, Bart, good morning. First things first, how seriously should the Jets consider trading Sam Darnold?
You know, what's crazy, as you watch football on Sunday, you see Herbert. You know that he's the future of that franchise. You look at Tua yesterday. He's the future of the franchise. You look at Kyler Murray. And 3 years in, we're still having a question about two quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, are if they're the future of their franchise. And I think if you keep asking yourself over and over again, then you kind of know the answer. It's just tough if you have the first overall pick to pass up, Trevor Lawrence, with what you see going around the league with quarterbacks in their first year, and understanding that resets the clock. I tell you what, I don't see Sam Darnold in practice every day. We all understand the conditions in which he's operating under, but man, that's a hard pill to swallow. If Trevor Lawrence comes in, you gift him to somebody else, and he becomes Mahomes, who thought he was going to be a Jet too.
How confident are you, Bart, in the Giants making the playoffs and winning that division?
Man, it's a horrible division, man. I mean, Dallas is still in it. Everybody's still in it. But I tell you what, when you look at the consistency in which the Giants play and the effort in which they play with, that may be enough to win the division. Just effort and some guys making a couple big plays. I think, as long as Daniel Jones takes care of the football, they have a shot. I mean, I feel like, you know, they get to beat up on each other, so that's always great that they get to play each other. And that's probably where it's going to come down to, the matchups against each other, because we know outside of the division, they probably aren't going to get many wins.
Bart, who's the best team in football right now?
The best team in football? This is tough. You have to kind of go with Kansas City. They're the champs. Looks like they're getting stronger. But this is the thing. This year, everybody has major flaws. I mean, we thought that the Seattle Seahawks was great. Listen, they got the worst defense I've seen. We've talked about Dallas defense. Listen, I say it all the time. They're the Legion with no boom. And we're watching, you know, of liability. The fact that Russell Wilson, if he gets in the playoffs, is going to have to, you know, have to win a shootout. The crazy thing is, man, it's one of those things, styles make fights. So I think I will have to see how the seeding takes place, because, you know, certain teams' style give other teams problems, right? We know that the Ravens don't match up well against Kansas City, but we know teams like, you know, the Tennessee Titans potentially with the upgrade and at the corner position and with the way they run the ball can keep that, you know, keep Mahomes on the sideline, could give them a tough matchup. And then vice versa on the side. Looks like the Saints have the Buccaneers number. You know how you play teams within the division and you have little tales about them and you know more about their offense and how to break them down. It seems like the Saints have the Buccaneers number.
What did you think about last night's game, watching the Bucs get smashed the way they did?
It's just one of those things, right? I feel like the continuity is not there. You talk about a team that's trying to fit in a lot of pieces. They didn't look like a well-oiled machine. It looks like Brady was trying to get everybody involved. And they found a way to get pressure on him early on. And I think when you try and spread everybody out and go to this passing offense, you know, they're better. Brady's always better when it's the run game. And I feel like when you have all these shiny toys, you know, you want to get the ball to them and get everybody their touches and trying to fit Godwin back in, trying to fit. Sometimes you can have too many weapons, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Because you don't want people to feel left out. Absolutely. So you try and get conservative efforts. We talk about that with OBJ trying to have to get his touches, and teams seem to move better without him. You know, so they have to find out the proper balance between running the ball, and that's the way they should go. It should go through the run game, and everybody else eats. It's not about how many catches you get. It's about what you do when you get them and how pivotal they are.
Bart Scott is joining us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. 11-year NFL veteran, played for the Jets, played for the Ravens. He's the host of Bart and Hahn on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And he and Alan Hahn will follow us this morning on ESPN Radio. You mentioned Tom Brady. Obviously, the guy that succeeded Brady in New England is Cam Newton. We have kind of laid out the case for what the Jets are at this particular point. Fill in the rest of this sentence. If Cam struggles tonight against the Jets,
yeah, they might put trash on his lawn. They might march and protest out in front of his crib. I remember they did that with Tommy Maddox in Pittsburgh. You know, he starts stinking it up after he was the gift that kept on giving the year before. Listen, they're passionate fans and they're not accustomed to dealing with this. And now you talk about losing to the hated rival. The team that has been, like, you know, your whooping board for the last, you know, I mean, always been your whooping board. And now, you know, you're starting to see that you guys are mortal, that you guys are really openly in a rebuilding phase. I think, you know, reality can really hit the Patriots fans tonight, especially if they lose to the Jets.
We'll see what happens. That would be something. That would be the Jets' first win of the season. It would come on Monday nights, and we would see what the residuals would be. As Bart told us, the early indications would not be good. A reminder, Bart Scott, Alan Hahn, host the Dan Le Batard Show this morning at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And by the way, you can see Greeny, Max Kellerman's show, Shanae, and Golic Jr. all on ESPN Plus starting today. Bart, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you. And Key, man, put a lumbar seat there and pillow for me in the back, man. My back was hurting a little bit the other day.
Well, that's because you got the big neck, you know, wide neck.
Take one and no one, Bart. Tell him.
No doubt.
Thank you, Bart.
You need a neck roll.
I'm going to come in with a neck brace, old school neck brace, to just relieve some stress from my neck.
Got the old school Joe Klecko neck roll? What are we going with here? Keyshawn
Brian Cox neck
yeah,
roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Big old thing.
You don't see many of those anymore on the old back of the jersey.
That was an intimidating factor, though, too. Them things, you look at them, just like, man, he can hit. He can hit. Watch out for him.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests, including Lou Riddick from Monday Night Football, to dig further into the Pats and the Jets coming up at 9:30.
I think Lou wore a neck roll as a DB.
He played for the Browns in the NFL, Pittsburgh,
and the Raiders
too,
though. Yeah, yep. But I think he might. I'm going to have to ask him. I think he had a neck roll on.
How much did Lou weigh back in the day when he was playing?
Well, he was in the secondary. Is that right, Keith?
Yeah. Yeah, so probably the same as he weigh now.
Yeah.
Is that his playing weight? That's not a bad thing.
Secondary or the neck roll, huh?
Yeah, they wore neck rolls in the secondary.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. More Jets conversation. Can the Jets learn something from two other NFL teams that suddenly have turned it around? Or is it too late?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
You're about to see a sportsbook bet like no other, whether it's AC or Vegas or anywhere in between.
Give it to me.
But first, I got to give the NASCAR championship to Chase Elliott. He's just 24. His dad won the championship.
1988.
Great father-son moment.
Yeah, Bill Elliott.
Legendary racer himself. So three father-son teams have won it. The other, Lee and his dad, the king, Richard Petty, and Ned and Dale Jarrett. Here is your 2020 NASCAR Cup title champion and the emotion.
It's unbelievable. It's something that I'm not sure. I know I haven't let it sink in yet. I'm waiting on it to hit me and I'm going to break down and look like a fool here in a minute. I know it's coming. So I really hope I get done with all this media before that happens.
Jay, how do you win the cup?
I would refer to Zubin on this.
It's the race for the chase. They pare the field down. They have like eight drivers. Then they race. Then they go to certain places. They pare it down to four. And then on the final weekend, they actually have four drivers with all of them eligible to win the championship. So it's cool. It's different. You only see four cars on the track, which is crazy, right? Because normally you're seeing 20, 30, 35 cars all going. But when they pare it down, they just want the drivers that are eligible to win out there. I like that. Why not have all these other guys that have no chance to win affecting the race? It is kind of weird to watch the track be that empty, but it is really cool to see, and that's how you crown a NASCAR Cup champion.
Zubin, you're really an anomaly. You know that, right? The fact that you just went into like a whole minute and a half breakdown of that is pretty impressive.
Now, we just did 90 minutes of NASCAR, so it looks like we may have lost. If you're still with us.
No, it's fine.
And to your point, Keith, there is a point system that's involved in deciding who advances.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought it was.
Right? So you get points per lap, per track, all that stuff.
Okay.
And then the top teams
need to go to a race.
End up advancing.
When everything settles down. Come on, Key.
In all seriousness,
go to a race, Keyshawn.
I did not say anything, nor did I give any facial expressions or anything. I just waiting on Zubin to continue to read.
I would just say, lastly, people say that if you're not a hockey fan or a NASCAR fan, some of these sports that aren't really top of mind for a lot of our listeners and viewers, they say if you go, it changes everything. NASCAR is an incredible team effort. You play sports your whole life.
I played for the Carolina Panthers. I was actually in a commercial or ESPN drive along with Mark Martin. So I get it. I understand it. I mean, it's, you know.
Only you. I was in the commercial right now. I get it.
Slip that one in. NASCAR hub is Charlotte. Almost every single team is based in the Charlotte area. Okay, here comes the gambling. You ready? So a better at William Hill Sportsbook, English sportsbook that's come over to America, dominant force, cashes in on a seven-leg parlay. So these are seven bets that this individual bettor made at the Venetian Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Went to the window, plunked down $4,000. and Jay walked out with $443,000. If you're watching this morning on ESPN News, the actual winning ticket is on the screen right now. He had these seven winners on the money line, which means straight up, no spread. Don't worry. Just pick winners. Liberty on the road. Yes, Liberty was ranked for the first time ever on the road at Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech. They win. He called that.
Virginia Tech iced themselves out of that game.
That was a crazy ending. Go watch it on the ESPN app. Totally, totally nuts ending. Key, I don't know if you saw the end of the game. Liberty lining up to win with a final field goal. Get this. The kick is blocked and returned by Virginia Tech on the final play of the game to win, but
they called the timeout.
A timeout had been called. And Liberty, they got this young kid, Malik Willis. He's an Auburn transfer, drove him down the field a little bit, 51-yarder. They win, unbelievable finish. Then he had Appalachian State. He's 2-for-2. Oklahoma over Kansas, we all know that one.
Yeah.
Iowa State was down 14-0, but they rallied to beat Baylor, and suddenly he's 4-for-4.
Okay.
Ohio State over my guys. Rutgers, that thing was over. 5-for-5. His only NFL wager, this one wasn't looking good early. Pittsburgh over Dallas. Seemed like a safe bet early, right?
He should have put more money down, though.
I mean, maybe that's all he had.
That may be the case,
too. He should have put down more money.
Well, because I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man, he won 450. What if he'd have put, like, 10 racks down or something? You know, it's like, I wonder if they, so you... You can bet any amount of money you choose to, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Go to the window, give him whatever. And last one, he was 6-for-6, and then he got Maryland over Penn State. The Nittany
That was
Lions.
Easy. Yeah. That was easy.
You were all over. Penn State 0-3 for the first time since 0-1. I don't know what's going on there with James Franklin and company. So congratulations, and as Jay said earlier, don't spend it all at once. $443,000.
I wonder what he felt like when he won.
Got that duffel bag of singles. He's ready.
No, but I wonder what he felt like, though, when he won and hit the winning ticket. Because if he loses the ticket, he's in trouble, right?
Yeah, you can't get your money.
So he got the ticket. See, if I'm him, I'm getting all ones, $100 bills or something.
All ones. It's morning now.
No, ones stacked. I'm getting back. I'm getting them stacked. I ain't saying go spend them. I'm just saying that's what you do. You just feel good.
Just have it all at the crib. Somebody walking by, yo, how much? It's only $440,000, but it's all singles right now.
I know he feel good. I wish I knew what he did for a living. Because he hit.
He should be a professional gambler.
He passed on that one, that's for sure.
Invest it, turn around, flip it.
No doubt about it. 443,000 singles.
That's all he had. So he pushed all his chips to the center.
Hey, man, look, tough times call for tough measures, man. Look, people be doing things now.
Man, if that was it and he hit like
and
that.
And he hit? Can't tell me nothing.
Can't tell him nothing.
He should have bet on the Falcons. More on that in a second. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, brought to you by Barbasol. Choose Barbasol shaving cream for a thick lather and close, comfortable shave. Barbasol, the American original for over 100 years. Better by Barbasol.
The elation in the locker room. Oh, man, you have no idea. To put two back-to-back is good. Now we got to get some rest and find a way to get it to three. What it means to take over the city. The Dirty Birds are back.
The Dirty Birds? Are back, and so are the Falcons. May not be enough to salvage this particular season. Maybe a quarterback change coming. Maybe a new head coach, or maybe they keep the one.
Oh, you saw that breakdown. Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play.
I was disoriented. Julio in the end zone. I haven't seen that for a really long time. He's one of the best guys in the league. Just can't get it for six. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So obviously, you know, the Falcons and the Texans axed their coach pretty much one after the other. But since then, lo and behold, the Falcons, with Raheem Morris, who has a little experience in the division, former head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, they have come to life. They knocked off the Vikings when the Vikings were playing terrible football, but that was a road win where they put up 40, certainly wanted to play for them. Then they lost kind of a squeaker to the Lions, who were also playing a little bit better. But then a division win on the road in Carolina, and then yesterday taking care of the Broncos at home. So Raheem Morris, asked to just salvage the season, is now 3-1. He's got one head coaching opportunity underneath him. There's plenty of guys that have gotten second chances, learned from their first opportunity. I mean, even Bill Belichick needed that second, third job in some ways after the Browns and that one day with the Jets. So let's talk about this. Should they hire Raheem Morris full time? That's the first question, especially with the dearth of minority coaches in the league. 3 black coaches, 1 Hispanic, 4 minority total.
I think he certainly deserves a second opportunity and a chance. You got to go back to Raheem. I've been knowing Raheem since Raheem was with me at the New York Jets when he was just a guy who worked for the team. Went to Hofstra University here in Long Island, New York, and he worked with us with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was an assistant defensive back coach to Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin leaves. He gets kicked up to the head defensive back coach. Then shortly after, they hire him in Tampa as a defensive coordinator. He never called a play as a defensive coordinator. He was like hired, and then they fired John Gruden abruptly and then hired him as the head coach with zero head coaching experience at all, right? And so he goes into Tampa. I think he made the playoffs 1 year. They won 10 games. They drafted Josh Freeman at quarterback.
Oh.
And that thing kind of turned into a disaster. And so they wind up getting him out of Tampa after 4 years or three. Maybe it was three to four years. But Raheem was young. He was a young head coach, inexperienced. He went from hanging out with the players as an assistant defensive back coach to becoming the head coach, which wasn't right. Now he gets a second bite at the apple. Adam Gase got a second bite at the apple in straight from Miami. He didn't get any timeout time. At least Raheem has gotten timeout time where he's now been an assistant coach in Atlanta. He understands it a little bit more. Certainly give him the job if he continues on this pace.
Your minority coaches, Anthony Lynn, Brian Flores, Mike Tomlin, Raheem Morris, Ron Rivera. That's it in the NFL. Steelers, Cowboys. Why was it so close? That's next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.